Well, this is different. I like it. I like being the American woman, and I like that you are listening all around America. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas to you. It is Christmas week. We are already into Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. It's the holidays, and not only am I oozing holiday cheer, but I'm also drunk on football scenarios. Whoa. I've been talking about them all day long. My family is in town already. My family arrived for Christmas week on Saturday afternoon, and my poor mom, her eyeballs are popping out of her head after hours of listening to me talk about football, but she is a trooper. So we have got 4 hours to get it together and not only go through the crazy week 17 scenarios as we tell you what we know, but also talk about some of the stunning, surprising results from week 16 in the NFL. With still one game to come, we've got Packers and Vikings both into the playoffs now. We do know the Minnesota Vikings have clinched a playoff spot that came courtesy of the Rams. Do you know how many teams have clinched playoff spots in the NFC this year because of the Rams' losses? I seriously think 4 of the 6 teams in the NFC have locked up their playoff spots by virtue of Los Angeles losing over and over again. So we still have that game to come on Monday night in the NFC North, which could decide the division title. But a lot has happened since we last spoke. 3 games on Saturday, all affecting the postseason picture, and a full slate on Sunday. And this is our typical NFL Sunday show, except it's also my only show of the work week. You know, I have to spend time with my family. They traveled all this way. So 4 hours, it's a full-on blitz, baby. We're After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Uh-oh. Wait, hold on. Don't tell me. I got this. Oh, here we go. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Roger Goodell is alongside. If you missed our last show before the weekend, well, we liberated our skinny, long-legged elf here in the studio. Someone left the price tag on him, but we decided he needed to have a permanent home. And so we adopted him, and you all sent names for 4 hours. No joke. On our Thursday night into Friday morning show, we ended the work week by naming him Roger Goodelf. We almost went with Sheldon Smalls, so he has an AKA, but his official name is Roger Goodelf. And if you haven't seen his photo, he's on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. He's got red hair. He does look a little bit like Brent Snedeker, the golfer. And also on our Facebook page. So either one, you can see our Christmas week mascot, Roger Goodelf. That name was suggested almost literally the last tweet I got on Friday morning. I hope you had a great weekend. In addition to working, as I mentioned, my family arrived and it was so much fun to pick them up at the airport. And we've been cooking, we've been eating so much, and we've been making plans for the week. My mom and I actually, for the first time in my entire life, we made a coconut cream pie. That was what we did on Sunday morning before football. So I felt very culinary in addition to being locked into what was happening in the NFL. All right, our phone number is 855-212-4227. I know there's a lot to talk about, so I'm looking forward to hearing from you. 855-212-4CBS. Not only do we have teams who are gearing up for the playoffs, we also have teams that very well could see the writing on the wall now with a week to go. We have the latest in the coaching carousel as well, so we'll do that as we head through the show. But why don't we start with what we know about the NFL playoff picture? Here's what it looks like after week 16 and the Sunday slate. The San Francisco 49ers are back in front in the NFC West because they beat the Rams on Saturday. They now sit in the driver's seat. The Seahawks did lose on Sunday, though that does not eliminate the Seahawks from winning the NFC West. Believe it or not, whichever team wins week 17 between the Niners and Hawks is the champion of the NFC West. Now, the Niners, of course, would end up as the one seed if they would beat the Seahawks next week, because they've got the tie break over the other teams in the NFC. But if the Seahawks win, they end up as the NFC West champs, though their seeding is not necessarily the one. So that the seeding gets a little wonky if the Seahawks beat the Niners next week. If you hadn't heard, the NFL flexed that game. So it is the last game of the regular season. San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks, both teams headed to the postseason. We just don't know which team will win the NFC West title. So how fitting, how dramatic of the NFL to leave that game until the very last and a whole division title on the line. I love it when that happens. Right now, the Saints are in position for a first-round bye. They have the tiebreaker over the Seahawks, but not against the Niners, which is why the seeding there is in flux. The Niners already won. I'm sorry, the Saints already won the NFC South, but could still finish in one of those top two spots for a first-round bye. The Packers lock up the NFC North if they win on Monday night. And believe it or not, the Packers are still alive for the top seed in the NFC. So the seeding is all up in the air in the NFC. The Eagles take over as the East Division leaders, though not the champions. Would you believe both the Eagles and Cowboys are still in the hunt for an NFC East Division title? As bad as it's been for the Cowboys, they could still win the East and host a playoff game, but they need help now. All the Eagles have to do is beat the Giants in Week 17, or if the Cowboys lose, Philadelphia will then win that East Division. And we're going to talk more about the Eagles-Cowboys coming up in 30 minutes. We'll head to Philadelphia and welcome one of our local hosts from WIP. By the way, did you hear that the Cowboys' plane, the charter flight, was unfit to fly? So they had to wait for hours. Oh, imagine how cranky they were. They had to wait for hours after losing to Philadelphia. They could not get back to Dallas because their charter wasn't deemed fit to fly. So they had to find a different plane. Oh, what an awful plane ride home. And one of the defensive linemen for the Eagles was heard screaming on his way to the locker room, "I guess Jason Garrett has to get an Uber back to Dallas." So you know the Eagles, as well as their fans, are enjoying the misery for the Cowboys. So those are the top four right now in the NFC. But again, seeding up for grabs for everything except for the East Division champ. No matter what happens, the East Division champ will be the four seed. Right now, the Seahawks are in the five seed. But again, even though they lost to the Cardinals on Sunday, and honestly, it wasn't the loss as much as it was the injuries that we'll get to. But if they win next week, Seattle is still the champs of the NFC West and would host a playoff game because they would have swept the Niners in their season series. Finally, the Minnesota Vikings still have a shot at the NFC North Championship, though right now they are the sixth seed in the NFC. Cowboys are still alive, though, on the outside looking in, with 1 week remaining. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Turning our attention to the AFC, congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens for the first time in their franchise history. They are the top seed with home field advantage assured throughout the postseason. Now, we'll see what they do in Week 17 when they host the Steelers. They've got a lot of injuries. You know, the style of football they play, it's physical. It takes a lot out of you, both mentally and physically. So maybe their key guys sit out Week 17 and then get the bye week off as well. 11 straight wins. If that does not earn them a week off, I don't know what does. 11 straight wins for Baltimore. And again, first time ever as the top seed. Despite their two previous Super Bowl championships, they've never been in this position before. The Patriots win the AFC East by virtue of their victory over Buffalo. We will talk about that one. That came Saturday. A record 11 straight division titles for the New England Patriots. And if you were worried about them, I wouldn't. Now at 12-3, they're in the bye week driver's seat. So they cannot win the top seed. But just like last year, they went on the road to Kansas City and won the AFC Championship at Arrowhead. As long as they beat the Dolphins in Week 17, the Patriots will have a bye and will be the number two seed in the AFC. Now, the Chiefs still have a shot at getting a number two seed and a bye, but they would need the Patriots to lose to the Dolphins, and they would have to win next week against the Broncos in Denver. But because they have the tiebreak against the Patriots, that is still a possibility if they both end up at 12-4. The Houston Texans are champions of the AFC South after picking off Jameis Winston four times on Saturday. And yet another inconsistent day for the offense. But they have their fourth division crown in 5 years. Could improve their seeding, but right now it seems likely they'll end up as the four. Number five, Buffalo Bills. They are the top wild card locked in, even though they lost to the Patriots. They'd already clinched a playoff spot. And because they've beaten the Steelers and the Titans already, they cannot fall from the five seed. Maybe they rest players in Week 17. And finally, the Tennessee Titans. While they are not locked into a postseason berth, because of the crazy tiebreakers, and this is nuts, so I have to share all this stuff with you. I won't go into all the minutia because you would hate me by the end of the hour. It would take me an hour. But essentially, if the Titans beat the Texans next week, they're in and the Steelers are out. So even though the Titans lost on Sunday because of the tiebreakers, and it gets all the way down to strength of victory. We're talking about college football playoff committee stuff here. Strength of victory. As long as they beat the Texans next week, now they have to go to Houston. But if they beat them, Tennessee's in. Here are the other weird scenarios, just to treetop. The Steelers lose to the Jets. They have to change quarterbacks more than once on Sunday. And so they no longer sit in the driver's seat. They have to beat Baltimore next week and hope the Titans lose in order for the Steelers to get into the playoffs. And then here's one more. One last team still alive for the postseason, and this is crazy. I'm not kidding you, but this is a possibility. The Oakland Raiders have a very slim chance of making it into the playoffs. They're the only other team alive. The Browns were officially eliminated on Sunday. But get this. If the Raiders win next week, if the Titans, the Steelers lose, and the Colts win, and again, it comes down to strength of victory, which is why the Colts would have to win for the Raiders to have that advantage in the strength of victory tiebreaker. But essentially, if the Raiders, Titans, Steelers, and Colts all finish 8-8, it's the Oakland Raiders who end up as the number six seed in the AFC. What? I don't know how far down the strength of victory tiebreaker is, but I know it requires some funny math. And it's a few steps down. So the Raiders are still alive, but they need four different things to happen next week for them to get in. The Steelers need two different things to happen. The Titans are in the driver's seat. So every team in the NFC that's going to the playoffs is locked in, though we do not know any of the seeds yet, except for the winner of, oh, I shouldn't say they're locked in. It's either Philly or Dallas. But that NFC East champ will be the four seed. Otherwise, all the seeds are... Did you like that sound effect? I don't really know where that came from. In the AFC, some of the seeds are sort of locked in. It's just so nutso. I love it when it's total chaos. When you have to go seven steps down on the tiebreaker list to figure out how these teams get in. All right, so that's where we sit right now through Week 16, except for Monday Night Football. We're going to talk about Sunday Night Football and the Chiefs, who appear to be rounding into that playoff form that was so scary for the rest of the AFC a year ago. And then at the back half of the hour, the Eagles, were on life support. They were 5-7 a month ago. And thanks to the NFC East being weak, have rattled off 3 straight wins, including the Dallas Cowboys. And they now sit in the catbird seat. The Eagles in the catbird seat, ready to try to win a division title. So I'm excited to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. How are you feeling about football at this point in your life? Also, I love this tweet from Michael. Oh, wow, Roger Goodell was my suggestion. I'm feeling worldwide. Yes, congratulations. It's his given name, his born name, Roger Goodell. And he's keeping us company as we do our first show of the work week, first show of the holiday week. I really shouldn't call it a work week. A lot of people are out of their regular routines. But I love that because then new people tune in to the show. All right, so let's get started here with Sunday Night Football straight ahead. The Chiefs are flying under the radar, but they should not be ignored. Happy holidays to you. Thanks for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Snap back to Mahomes. Here comes pressure. Lynch chasing Mahomes from behind. Mahomes to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone on a run to the left. And the Chiefs have struck first. They lead it 6-0 on a 12-yard scamper to Patrick Mahomes. No contain on the near side as he ran free into the end zone.
DeMarcus Robinson to the right. Kelce now walks into a slot left. Quick inside throw. Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce on the pivot route inside. Burning Buster screen. And the Chiefs have 3 drives, 3 scores to lead 16-0.
Snap to Mahomes, retreating, throwing up Damian Williams in the left flat by the linebacker. Touchdown! Kansas City on the near front pylon for 14 yards. Nick Kwiatkowski had no chance. And the Chiefs answer the Bears' field goal with a touchdown.
Mitch Holtis with the calls, very excited for the Kansas City Chiefs and what was a dominating performance at Soldier Field on Sunday Night Football against the Chicago Bears. The Bears were hearing the boo birds in the second half, and even Matt Nagy noticed how empty the stadium was once they were shut out in the opening half. It was 17-0 at the break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I've got the updated Week 17 schedule. I'll share that with you as we head through this hour. But on Sunday night, the Chiefs put themselves in position, at least, to climb into one of, well, it would be the number 2 seed. They still need the Patriots to lose to the Dolphins next Sunday, but at least we can see the Chiefs continue their hot streak. They are locked in, and it's not just the offense, though, of course, Patrick Mahomes had another good game, 23 of 33, couple of touchdowns, no turnovers. But it's also the fact that the defense has been stingy the last couple of weeks, and that's good news for the Chiefs. Remember, they changed they changed the majority of their starters. What was it, 7 starters that were new on the defensive side of the ball this season? But here they are, the last loss being to the Titans in November, and that was a game that they lost in Nashville by 3 points. Since then, they've run the table in the AFC West, beating the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos. All of those games coming at Arrowhead. But they also went to New England and now to Chicago to win games as well. 5 consecutive wins for the Chiefs. And you have to think, even though they're flying under the radar with the Ravens, of course, they beat the Ravens earlier in the season. But with the Ravens getting so much attention, with the Patriots always having attention, and with some of the other playoff battles that we've seen develop, it's almost this quiet confidence that's building with the Chiefs. And honestly, as much flack as Andy Reid gets for his decisions in the postseason, I'm telling you what, as I've watched this team over the course of the year, his play calling has been brilliant. He's creative. He's got the tools that he needs, and he loves to move them around. Lots of misdirection, the speed that he's acquired on the offensive side of the ball. But most importantly, Patrick Mahomes is healthy, and you would never know that he suffered a dislocated kneecap not even 2 months ago.
I thought we did a good job as an offense and as a team in general of just taking what was there. Their defense is a really good defense. They have a lot of great players. They throw a lot of different coverages and blitzes at you, and I felt like we did a good job of taking what was there. Whenever we got opportunity to take shots, we did, and then when they got us, we got to try to get the ball to my hand and get it to God and make plays in space.
Mahomes scampering around like nothing ever happened. Also had a rushing touchdown to go along with his two passing scores. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I almost said Nadio because I was looking down at Matt Nagy on my notes. I know it only makes sense in my own brain. So Matt Nagy, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, he did in fact hear the boos in the second half, and nobody could help but notice that Soldier Field was half empty.
The score indicated that, you know, with them being up like that and for us not putting points on the board. And then you get down in the red zone, come away with nothing. So, again, I think it just comes down to all of us with the details and understanding that on each and every play, we all need to be extremely detailed. We all need to take, you know, understand where we're at and how important it is. And that's where, you know, it led us to that point. To that score, and that's why there was, you know, it was empty.
So the Chicago Bears will not go from worst to first and back to worst again. The Detroit Lions have that dubious honor in the NFC North. And Nagy continues to be positive. He likes his team's effort, but you got to wonder how much questioning there is behind closed doors about the offense of the Chicago Bears. And it sounds like Nagy wants to stick with Mitch Trubisky, and there certainly have been flashes this season, but against good teams, not so much. 18 of 34 versus the Chiefs, 157 yards. His QB rating was below 70. They did get over 100 yards rushing, but they do not have a complementary passing attack to give them a balanced look. And it puts a lot of pressure on the defense. So the Bears now below 500 after winning the North Division a year ago. Meanwhile, the Chiefs move to 11-4. If the Patriots stumble next week, they could slip into that number two spot in the AFC. Straight ahead, the Philadelphia Eagles, they are now in the driver's seat for the NFC East title. What in the world is up with this wild ride, and who are the real Eagles? We'll head to Philadelphia next. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is fourth down and eight. Fourth and eight. Can the Eagles stop them here? Prescott in the gun. Three receivers right. One left. Prescott back. Prescott steps up. He is firing deep, and it is incomplete. Incomplete.
Sidney
Broken
Jones.
Up by Sidney Jones, who made the play of the day against the Giants 2 weeks ago.
Starting a couple weeks ago, every week was a playoff game. Otherwise, we're going to go home here in a couple of weeks. But, you know, our season's not done. We got another week left. I think that our team understands that. We got another division opponent on the road, a chance to continue our season.
Doug Peterson's Philadelphia Eagles were down to their last couple lives. And against the Cowboys, trying to scratch and fight and claw their way to stay relevant. They did exactly that at Lincoln Financial Field, a playoff atmosphere, as the head coach notes. The Eagles score on the opening two drives, and then they come up with a big defensive stand at the end. Merrill Reese with the call on the Eagles radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Let's play a game of fill in the blank. Through week 16 of the NFL season, my team is what? Through week 16, my team is what? Maybe you're feeling the holiday spirit. Maybe you're miserable, and as misery loves company, you need us to help you out. On Facebook as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we're pleased to welcome John Barchard, who covers the Eagles for our local affiliate in Philadelphia, WIP, as well as the Go Birds Pod. I love that. Go Birds, go. So John joining us now. The Eagles have put themselves back in a position to win a division title, though it's taken all hands on deck and really almost a come back to life situation. What impresses you about what Philadelphia has done to get to this point?
It's pretty crazy, Aim, because it's like this. It's been an up and down roller coaster, you know, pretty much the entire year, whether it's roster injuries, underperforming, not a lot of over for performances really until you get to these last 3 weeks where, you know, a lot of people were asking, had a ton of questions, rightful questions about Carson Wentz, and then pull off two back-to-back wins, and then again, you know, tonight to be accurate for the most part, which is important for him, and you know, and just putting the team on his back one more time to basically go and win this thing, and having you know, Miles Sanders next to him be his only like a big component in this one, and of course, you know, you had Zach Ertz in and out in this one. Dallas Goedert turned into a really good performance as well, but you know, to kind of do this with again like practice squad wide receivers and losing one of those guys throughout this J.J. Arcega-Whiteside going down, not having Lane Johnson there, your running game being affected by all that. This team has had to deal with a lot. Carson Wentz has had to deal with a ton of things. So I think this means the world in terms of confidence, turning things around. And yet again, Doug Peterson has his back up against the wall and performs under pressure. It's something that I think gets overlooked a lot of the time when things get messy here in Philly.
It's characteristic of his tenure as the head coach, especially these last 3 years. Now, I know this is not a Nick Foles situation, and Wentz is healthy, and that's great. But they do not choose the easy road, these Eagles.
I don't think they want to choose the hard road. It just always kind of ends up in front of them. And at the beginning of the year, you remember this team, at least nationally and locally, had a lot of like, wow, this has the most depth in the NFL. It's one of the biggest talented rosters and on. And then you realize, wow, did DeSean Jackson really just kind of handcuff this entire offense for what seemed to be honestly 16 weeks in a row? And you're going, wow, you know, there's these things building up of you know, possibly locker room issues between his wide receivers and all these things. And it's really funny once Nelson Agholor and Alshon Jeffrey aren't as available as they were at the beginning of the year, Carson seems to play even a little better. And I'm not sure how that's possible. And then, you know, the ups and downs of having game-winning and game-tying touchdowns get dropped through the hands of other wide receivers hasn't happened the last 3 weeks here either. So I don't know if it's a testament to the locker room where the guys just saying like, hey, we don't want to be embarrassed at this time. And, you know, 3 weeks ago, we're staring at a very laughable loss in Miami. So I just think these guys know when to turn the switch on, and some teams can do that and some teams can't. And this looks like the one that can't.
So, John, the big question about Carson Wentz, in addition to the injuries, which he has stayed healthy, so that's good, has been about his leadership. And the coaching staff and the front office have been so firm in standing behind him and saying that he is the quarterback of the present and of the future. How have you seen him grow up in this role of leadership under pressure?
Yeah, it's hard not to imagine some guys in that locker room wanting to, you know, get behind Nick Foles or themselves or Doug Peterson or something else. So I think what Carson's had to deal with is incredibly unique just from that stuff alone. Then you add, you know, the season-ending injuries back-to-back on top of that. Guys questioning his character, maybe even some guys questioning his talent at some points. And, you know, being real focused on your injury alone, I think Carson would even admit, maybe even distance him a little bit after that 2017 Super Bowl run. And then for Nick Foles to have success again when he goes down is another thing to overcome. And that's one of the things, like looking into, you know, his career. And I thought no matter what happened, as long as he had a couple of those things under his belt and, you know, in moments and shining moments where it looks like he can prove to his teammates, not only just, you know, off the field and trying to be more involved, even from, you know, talking to the defensive guys, as we saw him mic'd up last week, and kind of like this very shy, not very overly vocal guy that's now kind of, you know, having his own team. And it reminded us of, you know, a post Seattle Super Bowl era where it looked like they had to choose between guys like Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and Russell Wilson, and you're normally going to choose the quarterback every single time in those situations. The Eagles pretty much did that here, and now it's paying off in dividends. It finally feels like it's Carson's team and not just a bunch of other guys that won the Super Bowl around him. So I think things are looking up, and I think he's starting to feel that now too.
John Barchard of WIP in Philly, also part of the Go Birds podcast. Lots to talk about right now surrounding the Eagles as they move to 8-7. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. There are times when this Eagles team looks as though it can compete with the best in the league, but there are also infuriating losses that make you wonder if this team really even belongs in the playoffs, like the loss to the Dolphins a couple of weeks ago, like a loss to the Lions earlier in the season. So if you had to tell someone who these Eagles are, how would you begin to summarize their identity?
I think I'd just start laughing. Maybe, and just because I don't have an answer for you other than resilient, other than being, you know, in the same situation that they've been before. That's kind of how this team has been doing like the last 2 years, and they shouldn't be in the playoffs. Like, let's be honest here. Like, this team has no business being in the spot that it has, and because it's the NFC East or the NFC East, is it definitely is at this point. Yeah, I would describe them as a team that should have been here anyway, but the path to get here was just so crazy and self-inflicted in a lot of ways, and just, you know, injury prone in a lot of ways. I don't think that, you know, at first people were trying to describe this as like it's a really good running team, you know, after paying a quarterback almost $100 million guaranteed, and that kind of, you know, makes your heart stop for a little bit. But honestly, if the positives are there, I think it's still one of the best offensive lines in the league. Probably one of the most underrated like defensive lines in the league as well. Is that, you know, Fletcher Cox is finally starting to find his way in there too. But outside of that, it's a secondary that's very volatile, and you know it should have lost a game against, you know, a more talented wide receiver group with the Dallas Cowboys. As long as those two things end up staying together, they end up winning football games. And now that Carson has looked probably his best over the last like 3 or 4 weeks here, maybe that is a team that can upset a Seattle, a Minnesota, a Green Bay, a San Francisco that unfortunately is going to have a worse record in hosting a playoff game here.
As Brandon Graham was walking to the locker room, he was heard yelling, "I guess Jason Garrett has to go take an Uber home," referring to the time running out on the Cowboys head coach. So how satisfying is not just this win and to be in the driver's seat, but to know it comes against the Cowboys?
I mean, everybody in Philadelphia loves the fact that it's, you know, Jerry Jones has to make a lot of big decisions, including paying his quarterback, finding a new head coach, what to do with Amari Cooper, the 32 other, you know, either restricted or unrestricted free agents that are coming into it, and knowing that this is supposed to be, you know, this wonderful Super Bowl run for the Dallas Cowboys, and no one has underachieved more than those guys this year, in particular at the beginning of the year when you see, you know, Dak having such a great start to the year. And obviously there's something wrong with his shoulder going into this one. It didn't look like he had a ton of zip on the ball, but for them to go through an entire coaching process, even though we know Jason Garrett here in Philly is a dream, and not just here, but for the rest of the NFC East, to keep mediocrity intact at all times and just to have, you know, success right back down into 8-8, he's fallen into that trap again. But this is like, you know, you can look at the Dallas Cowboys almost every single year, and you don't even need to be an Eagles fan. You just need to be somebody that severely dislikes America's team, which is very easy to do. And it's all hype. It's just, it's all frosting. There's no cake. There's no layers to it.
Except they are in position still to make the playoffs, and they have been in the playoffs 4 of the last 5 years.
They have, but I mean, and you're talking about terms of sweet success, and Jerry doesn't like just divisional round appearances here. We're talking about a guy that, you know, absolutely wants to have that championship Super Bowl run. And yes, I you are right, Amy. Like, for me to be this confident in the Eagles just to take care of the Giants and everything be smooth next week is pretty silly on my part too. But just in terms of what the Cowboys wanted, they have, I think they've fallen the hardest, and I'm enjoying a lot of it here in Philly. So,
John Barchard is with Sports Radio WIP in Philadelphia, also the Go Birds pod. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So tell me this, I know that the Eagles winning the Super Bowl will grant the franchise equity. It always does for whatever team, especially one that's never won before, to win a title. It gets fans off their backs a little bit for a while. Has that equity run out? Are fans back to, I guess, the showing the teeth, baring the teeth when things don't go well, or are they still willing to give the team a little rope?
Oh no, the rope is gone. I think the rope left a long time ago, which is kind of nice. Like, there was, it did feel a little weird here that, like, over the past year, there's been a nice big free pass, and I think, you know, deservedly so, they understand that. But, you know, it snaps right back together here because there was a little bit magic of that left over when they were trying to beat the Saints in the divisional round, and now that's all gone. It's all focused on Carson. I hope that, you know, the Eagles are listening to this and seeing that, like, hey, this is good. This is good and fine and all, but you really need to look at the process over the results here, and, you know, kind of understand that, like, an 8 or 9 win football team is not going to be good enough, no matter how fun the run or crazy the run might be at the end here. So, yeah, there's still a lot of work to do, and definitely the shine was off a long, long time ago there, Amy.
So, do any of the other teams in the area, in the city, compare at all, or is it all Eagles right now?
It's been heavily Eagles, unless the Sixers lose, and then everybody just points at Brett Brown and wants that, you know, fired, or Embiid needs to mature more, Ben Simmons needs to find the jump shot, and on and on and on. We just basically adopt the Sixers like we do at the Eagles every 5 seconds. We kind of panic on what's going on there, but I don't think so now. Eagles are back to where they need to be, and, you know, the hot stove can hang out with the Phillies for a little bit too.
All right, you can find John on Twitter at John Barchard, and again with Sports Radio WIP in Philly, and also the Go Birds pod, which is all about the victory over the Cowboys on this Sunday. John, it's great to catch up with you. Thanks so much, and Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, Amy. Thank you so much.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.